All right, so we learned yesterday that one of the things that can prevent us from being who we are meant to be is tzvias ratzon, being satisfied where we are and not being conscious of what the mission is. And the antidote to this kind of phenomena where you are just focused on your own satisfaction and you only do what you want to do and you don't do what you don't want to do, the antidote for this is the end of the verse, which says, to think about the amount of days you're given in the world. And every day means something. And by realizing how Hashem has given you a mission and every day means something, that's what will keep you in check and take away that sense of complacency and satisfaction with what you've done already. Let's continue now on page Chaf Beis on top. Let's go from there. The pasuk continues and says, "I will fill your days." This is the Torah's advice in order to affect ourselves, so we shouldn't have this feeling of complacency. How do the words "I will fill your days" address that malady, that spiritual malady? When a person meditates about the fact that he was given a certain amount of days, yom, it's a gamer, that God created the amount of days he needs to live in this world, not less and not more. And every hour and every moment, you have to serve Hashem and do your mission in this world. You get so busy thinking about this that he doesn't have time to think about what level he's on. Like Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai said, I don't know what way I'm going to go. I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. I don't know if I'm going to go to hell. Why doesn't he know? He doesn't know because he never thought about what level he was on. He was doing lots of wonderful things in his life, but he was so busy with his life's mission that he didn't stop and think where he was up to. He was so involved in fulfilling his mission, they didn't have time to pay attention, to listen to what level he was on. He is so burdened and pained and immersed in fulfilling his mission every day and every moment and every second, every hour and every second. He doesn't know what's going on with his intellect and emotions. He also doesn't know what's going on within the deeper parts of his soul. It could be the Rebbe, that last line is in sync with what the Alter Rebbe writes with the Torah. The Alter Rebbe writes a different explanation with the Torah. With the Torah, the Alter Rebbe writes that about another tzaddik who asked if he's going to go to the world to come, Rabbi Yisim and Kisma. And the Alter Rebbe says, how could he not know? And the Alter Rebbe answers, although he did everything overtly, he did the right stuff, but because he thought that this stuff he's doing might be because this is his nature. He might like learning Torah all day, and that's why he learns Torah all day. It doesn't mean he's serving Hashem. It could be just because of his character. He didn't really know if whatever he was doing was the service of Hashem. That's Alter Rebbe writes over there. And Rabbi Chaim and Tadian responded to him and said to him, have you ever done anything special in your life? And he responded that one time the money of Purim, he collected for Purim to help the poor, got mixed up with his own personal wallet, and he gave the whole thing away to Tzedakah. So Rabbi Chaim and Tradin told Reis Ben Kisma, if that's what you've done, then certainly you're going to the world to come, and I wish my portion was with you. Because that indicates that your service of Hashem isn't just because of your nature, because people who are very studious into learning don't have the nature of being studious, nature of being generous, or two different kinds of nature. And that indicates that he was really okay, that his inner what was going on inside of him when he was learning Torah wasn't just because of his nature. That means that he was actually a servant of Hashem. So that's the Alter Rebbe, that says over there in that Maimon. So here the Rebbe says something different. He says, why didn't Rabbi Chaim and Zakkai know where he was going because he didn't think about what's going on inside his soul. He never had a moment to think about what's going on inside because he's busy doing his mission. It's certainly understood that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai did not have a sense of satisfaction. Since he knew that every moment he has to do his mission, if he doesn't serve Hashem for a moment, it's not just that he's not reaching a higher level. It's not just he hasn't reached a higher level, but every moment he's not doing his job. In that moment, you're not doing what Hashem wants you to do. You're rebelling against God by not doing your mission. So it's not just that you're not reaching another brownie point that you could have gotten, that you're not getting another power pellet, you're not getting another pina colada in Gan Eden because you didn't, you missed that out on that moment. But every moment you're not doing your job, you're rebelling against the King of all kings because he's the one who appointed. If a person is conscious that about the mission that Hashem has appointed him with at all times, and every moment he's given something to do, and Hashem is standing there and they're giving this him to do, and he's appointed, he's Hashem's soldier, and this has to get done. So not only will he not have be satisfied and complacent where he's gone, what he's done, Bar Tzacha, not only will there not be in his land, in his desire, this sense of complacency, of satisfaction of what he's accomplished till now, will adrab, the opposite will happen. When someone would ask him, how's your Artzacha? How's your desire? Are you satisfied where you are? He'll scream with a bitterness in his soul. Mali rotzen, mali tining, mali av mali yira, mali vosmi rotzen, vosmi tining, vosmi av vosmi yira. What do I care about my desire and my pleasure and my love and my reverence? How could I think about what level I'm on when I have to show up to do my job, that there shouldn't be a moment that I'm rebelling against Hashem, not doing my mission? So what do I care about my desire, my pleasure? The Rebbe points out in the Sicha that I mentioned yesterday that the guy has a sense of mission, doesn't even feel like he's doing the mission, just feels the mission has to get done. So the Friedrich Rebbe once said that he getting a stomach ache is something that is particularly I don't know what the right word is to say, but is he's able to catch his breath in the bathroom because he doesn't have to do the he's not able to fill various missions while he's there, right? The Abishur is, if God forbid, a person has a stomach ache, so then they're stuck somewhere, right? So that's the kind of persona that the Rebbe is telling us to be, that you have to be conscious of the fact that Hashem gives you a mission every moment, and if you're not just given an opportunity to reach a higher level, but you're on duty. And if you're on duty, then you don't think about, do I have my desire fulfilled? Do I have love and reverence for Hashem? What level am I on? What are you talking about levels? You're on duty right now. When a person fulfills this commandment, the Torah says, you shall not have a miscarriage. You shall not have a barren woman in your land, which means he does whatever he can so that he should actually have offspring, which means he should have love and reverence for Hashem in a real way. And he's not complacent. He doesn't have the sense of satisfaction, as we've just said. Then God promises this person and tells him, if you fulfill, there's a commandment element to this verse and there is a promise in this verse. The commandment part of the verse is, you should not be this way. Don't have the sense of satisfaction. You have to make sure that there's offspring. Offspring means that your mind produces these positive things of love and reverence for Hashem. And not just that there's love and reverence, but this love and reverence leads to your mitzvahs. And that, and then your love and reverence, your children that are born from your meditation, they stay alive. And the key to keeping them alive is that you don't have the sense of complacency. So when you do all that, and you create and you generate these positive feelings of love and reverence for the Eibishter, and you don't have the sense of complacency, then God promises you in return that this verse will actually be fulfilled with you physically. And that's what the pasuk means when it says, "I will fill your days." God says, "I will fill your days." So, this is something that God does. Till now, we're talking about how this is in our life, but we have to think. I have to fill my own days. I have to think about what is my life about. Why does Hashem give me this moment? What is it for? This is a precious gift of Hashem. He has given us 1,440 minutes today, and On Tuesday of Parshas Truma. What is this gift for? Every moment I have to be conscious of that. So that's what the pasuk is telling me for my service of Hashem. But the pasuk is also speaking in God's name. God saying, "I will fill your days." What does that mean? That when a Jew does what Hashem has asked him, and he thinks about the mission, and he becomes a servant of Hashem, then Hashem says, "I will fill up whatever was lacking in your life till then. All those moments that you wasted, all those moments you didn't do what you're supposed to do, and you aren't satisfied where you didn't report on duty for whatever amount of time it was, you're missing an action." So the Eibishter says, "I will fill your days." And who will do this? God himself. That's what the Torah says. I, the essence of Hashem, will fill your days. When you miss the next page, even if there's some kind of lacking, some kind of fault in the days of a person's life, there were days in not doing his job, or there were days he did the opposite of his job, the negative stuff. But because of the third person in the Torah's narration, which we learned, that's referring to God's essence. And in God's essence, it's not possible that there's any blemish. God doesn't have any fault. So Hashem says in response to your taking your mission seriously and you're becoming a servant of Hashem, so Hashem says this won't only work for the future, this will also work for the past. Whatever was missing in your life in the past will be compensated. Hashem will transform those days into something positive. There was a chassid who was in prison for 20 years. His name was Reb Lazer Nanis. He wrote a book called Saboda, a phenomenal book. And the Rebbe told him when he came to have a private audience to the Rebbe, and he was there with his wife, the Rebbe told him the years that he sat in prison aren't counted, not counted in the amount of years he has to live in the world. And he lived, I don't know how many years. I think he lived over 100. I don't remember exactly, but he was given a gift of life because of the years that he sat in prison. Here they were saying something different. Here they were saying that there were days that you missed out. The Eibishter says, "I'm going to fill those days you lacked." But even more, that was appointed for you. You missed out a certain amount of days, and you didn't do what you're supposed to do. Hashem says, "I'll give you more." There was someone who had a heart condition. Asked Rebbe for a bracha for his heart condition. Rebbe told him that he should invest himself in the Chabad house that he was connected to. And that Baruch Hashem alleviated, thank God, his heart condition. That gave him a refuah shlema. He used the Chabad house activity as a barometer for how well is his heart doing. He had to think about how much he was involved. In a similar way, Rebbe is saying over here that the more we invest in our mission, we're not losing out our days. On the contrary, it gives us time. And not only do we have more days to live, but the days become the language of the Torah. I will fill your days. The days will be, you know, some days you go through a day and you think, what did I accomplish today? So today is a day that Hashem will make your day luminous in the merit of the fact that you took upon yourself this mission. You said, "I'm showing up to do this." The Eibishter says, not only give you a longer life, and I give you lichtike tag, luminous days. That's why the Torah uses the number, the words, the number of your days. Why is the Torah use that word, the number? Because the word number is related to the word sapphire, which means to sparkle. And not only will God give you more days, but he'll give you sparkly days. He'll give you luminous days. The word mispar comes from the word to shine, and from the word sapphire, and that's the blessing that a person receives by taking it upon himself to serve Hashem. And this is why the Torah continues and says, Hashem says, I will remove illness from you. Hashem is speaking in the Torah, in the third person. The one who is narrating the Torah, the Torah is usually in the third person. So now the narrator says, and I will remove the illness. Why is Hashem switching to the third person, switching from the third person to saying, I will do this? Why is Hashem speaking? Hashem is speaking because till now, the Torah is talking about someone who serves Hashem. Someone who serves Hashem, he serves Havaya. We learned earlier on that a Yid could serve Hashem and he's interested in what that will accomplish for himself and he's satisfied. And he receives lots of brachas. Hashem says, if you will serve Hashem, then Hashem will bless your bread, and Hashem will bless your water. Hashem speaking in the third person. Your bread refers to the written Torah, your water refers to the oral Torah, your Torah mitzvahs. There'll be lots of blessing in merit of the fact that you have served Hashem. You've done something for Hashem. But if you have achieved not just that you're serving Hashem, but that you are a servant of Hashem, and you have the sense of being that you have a mission every moment, so then all of us, then not only will you have that blessing that we spoke about till now, of the blessing of your bread and water, but you still, it could be a disease, God forbid. But in the merit of being a soldier of the Eibishter, a servant of Hashem, that you feel that every moment is given to you and you have something to do in that moment, the Eibishter says, I will remove the illness. Something more, not just, if you could have lots of blessing but still be sick, the Eibishter says, in the merit of this, Hashem says, I will take away your illness. What this means is, the Torah says over here the word disease, it's referring to the source of all illnesses. What's the source of all illnesses? What was the first illness? The first illness was when Chava ate from the tree of knowledge. What was that illness? What happened to her when she ate from the tree? She had this feeling of sense of self. Before the sin of the tree of knowledge, there was no sense of self. As the Torah says, they were naked in Gan Eden, and they were not ashamed of their nakedness because they didn't have any sense of self. The sin caused the sense of feeling yourself. As it says in the Torah, the woman saw the tree had good food in it. In other words, there was already a sense of, this looks good for me. So those person may serve Hashem. Hashem is blessing his bread and water. Hashem is blessing Torah mitzvahs. And he's doing lots of great stuff. But could still have this disease of the sense of satisfaction, the sense of self. The sin of the tree of knowledge affected everybody, even tzaddikim. I'm going to read to the rest of the paragraph out loud. I'm not going to read the rest of the Hebrew. Even perfect tzaddikim were affected by the tree of knowledge. As the Talmud says, there were four people that only died because of the sin of the tree of knowledge. They had no sin of their own. So they were perfect tzaddikim, and the reason they died was only because of the sin of tree of knowledge. And that means that even perfect tzaddikim have this concept of feeling themselves. I once shared with you how my great-great-grandfather, Abzal Meshe Yitzchaki, he called over some boys while he was studying some Achvav, and he said to them, look at what says over here. He's so excited. He used to be very into his learning and not like entertain people while he was learning. He's learned for 6 hours straight and a couple of lines of Machvav, like 5-6 lines for 6 hours. He's a different kind of guy. So anyways, he showed them something. Look at what I just learned of. It's unbelievable. The Rebbe Rashab says that Avram put Yitzchak on top of the wood. What's the meaning of putting him on top of the wood? The wood means the tree of knowledge. In the act of doing that Akedah, Avram Yitzchak reached a level that was higher than the realm that was created by the sin of the tree of knowledge. The sin of the tree of knowledge caused everybody to have this sense of self, the sense of I. Even tzaddikim who are full of love and reverence for Hashem, they still are a person. There's still someone that loves. The very fact you're saying love means there's someone that loves. They can't reach the level that they were at before they arrived at this world. Certainly those who are not tzaddikim, who are those who are beinonim, certainly those who are lower than beinonim, certainly they have a sense of self. And Hashem says, I'll remove the illness of the sense of self. You can't do it by yourself. Only God can give this to you. Hashem says, I will take this away from you. I will take away this machla, this disease of the sense of self. And all of this isn't just a ruchniyistika thing, but this comes down to gashmias, both regarding our parnasa. As the Torah says, I will bless your bread and your water. And also regarding your health. The Torah says, I will remove illness from within you. And the Torah adds, I will fill the number of your days. And also regarding to children, as the Torah says, you shall not have a miscarriage and shall not be barren. This all is a preparation for the arrival in Eretz Yisrael. And that we should see this in Peter Yameinu through Mashiach Tzidkenu. So what we just learned in the last paragraph, in short, was that this idea of Mispri Yamecha Mali, being conscious of Hashem giving you a mission, something to do in this world, and that you're here to accomplish something, is key to receive great blessings from the Eibishter, spiritual blessings and physical blessings. And the root of all blessings, or the root of all illnesses, is this concept of sense of self. And in merit of having, of taking yoke of Hashem upon you, the Eibishter removes from you this sense of self in a negative way. And Yid feels that he's just meant to be a servant of Hashem. I just want to point out, it sounds like a guy who has this lack of sense of self that he's going to really serve Hashem in a mediocre way. You know, like if he's only doing this because Hashem said so, and he's only trying to fulfill Hashem's mission, and he doesn't have any interest in himself, he's just going to do this in a mediocre way. But then in the Maimer Rosh Hashanah, last Maimer the Rebbe edited for Rosh Hashanah in 57-52. Rebbe spoke about the shofar gadol, the great shofar that will be blown, Mashiach will come. And how it says about that shofar, it will be blown. It doesn't say who's going to blow the shofar. And that shofar will be blown, and all those who were living in Egypt and who lost in Assyria will all come to serve Hashem when they hear the shofar being blown. It doesn't say who's going to blow the shofar. So just like, so the Rebbe says that, similar to the point we're saying in this mimer, it doesn't say, Hashem speaks in the first person, says, I'll remove the illness. And Hashem, the Rebbe says that's referring to Hashem himself. In a similar way, when it doesn't say who's going to blow the shofar, because the kind of shofar that's going to be blown, Mashiach will come, is something that comes from God's essence, something which comes from a place which is beyond our understanding and feeling, beyond the realm of the spiritual cosmos. He himself, who cannot be described, will blow that shofar. And that's why everyone will be affected. You blow the shofar, Rosh Hashanah. So some people are affected. The shofar of the Mashiach is a shofar that will affect every yid wherever they are, no matter what's going on. So what's the way to bring about that shofar? It's through a yid during the time of exile, not feeling that he's the one who's accomplishing something. Just like it doesn't say who will blow the shofar, so too, before the shofar is blown, we can't feel that we're the ones who are accomplishing. But then there are ads. You might think that if you feel that you're not the guy who's doing it, but Hashem is doing it for you, you might think that lessens what you can accomplish. But it's exactly the opposite. Why? When you feel that you're the guy who's doing something and that you're the guy who's accomplishing, then it's limited to how much you could do. You do as much as you could do, and then you can't do any more. But if you realize that the Eibishter is the one who's blowing your shofar, that he is the one who's tooting your horn, that he is the one who's making things happen, then you know there's no such thing as an obstacle, no such thing as limitation. That the shofar will be blown. What that means is that the Eibishter will blow the shofar himself in merit of us at the end of Golus, not feeling that we're doing everything, feeling that the Eibishter is the one who's, as everyone can see in their own life, that you can't accomplish anything yourself. It's all obvious that the Eibishter is the one who is making it happen. We just lost this incredible chassid, Regesh Mendel Gorelick, the Rebbe's emissary to Italy, who I could have a whole for brain and just discussing who he was and what his life was about. And but one thing that and it doesn't seem like the kind of person that we're describing, about someone who's always, you know, has this feeling of mission and sense of mission obligation. But he did in his own way. He was a guy who would come to Verbrengen with boys, and he wouldn't leave the Verbrengen. The Verbrengen would go on the entire night. And we're here. This is the time for Verbrengen, and this is what we're going to do. And the Verbrengen goes on and on and on. This is Verbrengen. Not many people had that sense of, or have that sense, that their boys need to Verbrengen, and they just stay there with them. They don't stop, and they give as much whatever they can give. It's a different kind of person. Anyways, have a wonderful day. Any questions or comments? All right. Great day, Yonatan. Great day, Dr. Bressman. Great day, Chaim Mordechai. Great day, Reb Berel. Great day, Reb Zev. Litrot.